Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's get ready for our study. As we continue to look at the prayer of Jesus Christ, this is truly the Lord's Prayer. And so let's get cracking on it. Kit, what do you hear from Julian?
We live in paradise here. It's she doesn't ever want to live in Europe. She was born and raised there. She don't want to. It's terrible there.
It is.
Mosquitoes.
People in America need to go abroad and stay. People that I'm not being rude, but the blacks who think Africa holds something, they ought to live in Kenya. They ought to live in Nigeria. And I mean, they ought to live there in the big cities. And I was in Kenya and went into an area to teach. And I'm not exaggerating, people. The village in the city of Nairobi, this area, and the street on the sidewalks there had cardboard. So I'm standing on the cardboard, and the cardboard is moving beneath my feet with bugs, lice, different animals. And it just unbelievable. Yeah, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I overrun with mosquitoes. She went to a bank to change dollars into euros, and they said, well, you have to open an account here, deposit your dollars, and in 4 days we'll give you some euros.
Wow. Is that true of all the – there's no bank place that you can just go and exchange?
That's where she went. At the airport, they'll change it.
Yeah.
Go to the airport. But at the regular banks where you used to be able to just go in and change money, they don't do that anymore.
Wow.
It's like that in Canada, too.
Huh?
A lot of that's in Canada, too.
Rates worse at the airport, too.
I think it's
changed, right?
Usually.
So you don't get a fair exchange at the airport?
I heard it's low.
Not converting dollars into anything.
No.
Come September.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get an idea, kind of watch it on the computer to see what the exchange rate is in Greece. Just kind of watch it maybe every 2 or 3 days and just watch it flux and see what it should be when you get there. And you might, just for your own advantage, Dan and I watched all of this, find out, is it going to be better to exchange it right here at this airport? Or is it better to wait until you're over there, or does it not matter? Like in Monrovia, it didn't matter. We could change it here or there, and it would be about the same. But now that's before all of this economic change that's taking place in America has occurred. So it's that. We got a place right up here. Yep. There you go. So, but she's doing okay.
She
wow.
Three cans of deep, what is it, off?
Yeah. Wow.
Bring some more.
Or send some more.
You going in September?
Yes.
Dan was affected by a lot of that. I don't know why it didn't bother me that much. I put it on. I put the off on at night, but it just never really bothered me that much.
Well, they've got an outbreak of West Nile, what is it, West Nile virus.
Oh, wow.
11 people in the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
About that, she doesn't go outside,
she stays in the house. Bless her heart. Oh man, that's a shame. Okay, how's Thomas? Good, all right, very good. Okay, all right, any other prayer requests that I need to be aware of? Yes, sir. Sort of a constant thing that we need to be in prayer for Cindy and her family. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's begin. Great study in the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I'd like to bring, and I'm talking about some of the better work on the languages and things, and just how complicated these verses are that we're looking at. But We'll just have fun looking at the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're given privy to the audible prayer of Jesus Christ. It's for our edification, for our understanding, our appreciation of our Savior, understanding Him, and as a model of our own prayers. So much is going on, Heavenly Father, in the Holy Spirit recording this prayer by Jesus Christ just prior to His arrest, trials, and crucifixion. So, Father, pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You would have us to see, understand, Father, and be edified. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, chapter 17 and verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son. And now we're ready for the phrase, in order that the Son may glorify Thee. The glorification of the Son is not the end in itself. It's not about Him. It's a means to an end. His being glorified is the means to an end, that end here being the glorification of God the Father. That is the objective. In order that the Son may glorify Thee. Now, I just want to give a preface to this whole thing we're going to be looking at. The eternal life issue, let's just read a couple of verses. That the Son may glorify Thee, even as Thou givest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. Just to set this whole thing into framework for us, is the revelation of God the Father is in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the only way we know the Father is by the revelation of the Son, Jesus Christ. No one has seen the Father but Me. So this whole thing of having the life of God, the glorifying of God, all this is dependent upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I'm having a wonderful time relating this with our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll show you some of those things that are going on in that respect. Okay, now, in order that the Son may glorify Thee. And I told you one thing I'm going to do. All the way through here, I'm going to slip in on you our own personal prayer. People, this should be at the heart of every one of our own prayers. We're going to learn a lot in this study of the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to learn a lot about our own personal prayer life. That by answering my petition, God is glorified. That should be our objective. Anytime we ask a prayer, it should be with the idea of His answering, it will glorify Him. If we ask for ourselves, it's covetous and not for God's glory. So just slip that in on you in regard to our own prayer life. So we've got so many things we're going to learn about prayer throughout this entire prayer of the Lord's Prayer. So, in order that the Son may glorify Thee, we have the aorist, active, subjunctive of doxazo again. Here we have, get an insight again, into the verb glorify. This is important now, this is not giving to the Father any additional glory. He is perfect. He is immutable, which means His glory is perfect. His glory is immutable. It is unchangeable. So what's going on here, the context is to give even further recognition of who and what He is. For the creature, mankind, including angels, all created beings, seeing and acknowledging more about God. So we're going to see, just seeing God through Jesus Christ glorifies Him. Receiving the life of God through Jesus Christ glorifies Him. So it's not giving God any additional glory. He is immutable. He is perfect. His glory is immutable. His glory is perfect. What is happening is, from our perspective, He is being glorified. So, and it's conditioned on the Father glorifying the Son. Just a side bend here, if we could just grasp Barnhouse's term, the invisible warfare, people, and glory, and the glory of God, before all of his creation, before all of his creatures. It is amazing to me to watch a young child recognize the glory of God, the being of God, the grace of God, and super creatures, angels, Satan, Lucifer, fallen angels, do not. Exalted man in his wisdom does not. So to kind of pull in what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians 1, the wisdom of man. And but if just here's a child who will grasp it. Here's a humble person, and I hope all of us here, we grasp it. You can't believe how much you're set apart from angels if you grasp the glory of God. You're so different than even angels at this aspect. And the more we grasp the glory of God, how our lives would be free of stress, anxiety, and depression, and replaced by peace, hope, and all the wonderful things that deal with our relationship with Him. But we talk about His glory, and then we move over into our own lives and get all caught up and get frustrated and stress and anxiety and depression and all of that. When these things don't even begin to come into a shadow of the reality of the glory of God. Now, our copying this prayer, something like this: Father, glorify thy Son in me. That's a wonderful bona fide prayer. Father, you glorify your Son in me, through me, in order that you may be glorified in my life. See, this is what's so beautiful. You're glorified by Christ revealed in me. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you're mine. So when they see Christ, when we love as Christ loved, they see Christ, God the Father is glorified. It's just it's an unbelievable thing going on. And we miss it with all of the complications of living our lives in this world. Verse 2 describes the manner by the Son of God, by which the Son of God will glorify the Father, giving eternal life to His creatures. So let's look at verse 2. Even as thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. Well, as I said, there's just a beautiful process going on here in the glorification of the Father through the Son. The glory of Jesus Christ, people, is related to life. Therefore, the glory of God the Father is related to life, God's life. These are just the broad understanding of this. So, eternal life, God's life, given to man. People, we have to study and understand the imputation of righteousness, justification. But what is all of this leading up to? It's leading up to our receiving eternal life, God's life. It's amazing how so many people try to hold on to life here on earth when you're given eternal life. There's just nothing to hold on here if we grasp what eternal life is. It is so clear from verses 1 and 2 that only by and through Jesus Christ is God's life given to man. It's not by works. It's not by religion. It's not by any of these things that we do. It is by Jesus Christ that we receive eternal life. And while not mentioned here in this passage, it's by faith. I just want to be sure we understand that. Therein lies the glory of God, that He alone gives life under the authority of God the Father. Now, we have a problem. The beginning of verse 2, see that even as verse 2 begins, this is one of my favorite adverbs in the Greek. It's kathos, K-A-T-H-O-S. It's a comparative adverb. Now, I'm just going to jump to the problem. Something has to exist to which something else can be compared. It's a comparative adverb. Something has to exist that something else can exist. Even as, or just as, so people, we have a relationship between 1b and 2, verse 2. This comparative adverb, though, is not as as doesn't just jump out at you, the comparison. And we need to look at it. For an example, in the new commandment, it's very simple. That you love one another just as I have loved you. How did he love? He laid down his life. How do we love? We lay down our life. Boom, that's simple. See? Love one another just as I've loved you. How do you love? I lay down my life. Okay, this is not that apparent. This caused some problems in the understanding of the text. So we need to take a look on this just as. So let's see if we can see the comparison. Even as, just as. Jesus Christ justifies his petition that the Father glorify him with this just as. Okay? Jesus Christ justifies his petition that the Father glorify him with this just as. God glorifying him now is going to be in harmony, perfect harmony, after the pattern that the Father has already given him, already glorified him. And we're going to see how this all fits together. In giving him authority over all creatures, and then giving him the authority to give God's life to creatures. But this authority can only be his, only be exercised, after he himself is glorified. Now, let's see if I can work this out for you. I read several of what I thought were really good, and they confused me. And I hope I don't do that to you. So let me just see if I can paraphrase this to make it simple. A son may say to his father, so let's say the son, just pick an age, is 30 years old, and he says to his father, Father, give me now the authority to run the family business just as you have already given it to me when I was a child. You gave me the business when I was a child. Now, give me the authority to run it. And that's the basis. So, give me the authority now to run it just as you've already given me the business. Does this click for you in the example? Or does it mess it up? Does not click. It does. Okay. So, give me the authority to run the business, just as you've already given me the business before. I'm not asking anything that you haven't already done. You've already given me the business. Now, give me the authority to run it. So that's the just as in our study here. So just as Jesus Christ desires all to see the glory of the Father, he desires that all see the glory that the Father has given him. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. So, it's already been given him. See? It's already been given. So, let's look at 17:1b. Glorify thy Son for the purpose that the Son may glorify thee, just as thou hast given authority over all mankind. This is the glory that Jesus Christ petitions. For the purpose that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. This is Jesus Christ giving glory to God the Father. So, glorify thy Son just as you have given him authority over all mankind. Now, I started to bring the PowerPoint just for this one thing here. But let's see if we can do this on here. I'm going to put just as right here in the middle. Okay, now here I'm going to put glorify thy Son. Glorify your son. And over here, you have given, just as you have given authority. So, just as. Glorify thy son, just as you've already given him authority over all things. Now, in order that, I'm just going to put that, in order that your son may glorify you. Glorify you. Okay? Just as you have already given to him, already given to him, already given to him to give life. To give life. Okay, so, in order that your son may glorify you, just as you've already given him to give life to those who believe. As we'll pull all this together. So that just as, he's really just saying, it's already been done. Just bring it to fruition. Bring it to reality now. It's time in history, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the session. They're all involved in the glorification of the Son. They're all involved in the giving of life. And they've already all been promised. They've already been given to him. Now he's just saying, all right, let's make it reality. Now, for there to be a comparison, again, something must have happened first to which the comparison is made. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you has already happened. We are to follow that pattern. Now in our passage, glorify your son, aorist active imperative, this is the first petition you recall, for the purpose that your son may glorify you, aorist active subjunctive. Historically, neither of these have yet occurred. He has not glorified the son yet, and the son has not given life yet. But they've all been promised to Jesus Christ. So this is compared to something that has already occurred. Thou gavest him authority over all mankind. That has already happened. God the Father has already given authority over all mankind. We have the aorist active indicative of a very important verb, didomi. And this is D-I-D long O-M-I, didomi. Now, I want you to note something. We did this in our 1 o'clock class on Sunday, and I just want you to come familiar with this verse. Note verse 2. We're going to observe something in verse 2. I want you to note that the verb is used 3 times. Even as you gave him, that to all whom you gave him, he may give eternal life. So when you have a verb repeated 3 times in one verse, there's your key. There's what you want to look at. See what's going on. See what's happening with that one verb. Now, thou gavest him authority. Okay, let's just deal with this first one. Okay, here's the verb to give. Here's the verb to give. Now, who is the subject? Who's doing the giving? God the Father. Okay? Now, let's just jump to it, not to the indirect object, but to the object. What is he giving? Do what? Authority. He's giving him authority. So this is what is given, authority. Now, the indirect object to whom? To Jesus Christ, his son. Okay, so there's the first give. Now let's take a look at it. God the Father has given to the son authority. So this is important to note what has been given. As we're going to see, there's a heretical teaching that comes out of verse 2. And we're going to take a look at it. But let's take a look at this beautiful verb right now. The aorist tense, point where God the Father, first member of the Godhead, has given to the second member of the Godhead, God the Son, when he agreed to this plan, the indicative mood is the reality of this event having already taken place. Him, already identified as his son, this is Jesus who is praying. Now we have authority. The word authority, this is what is given. Authority is permission, authority, right, liberty. It includes the power and the right to do something. And then it says, overall authority, just we would, if we were diagramming, now we go authority over all. And it says here flesh, it's word zarts. Technically, the flesh of a living creature, it's really in opposition to spirit. God is spirit. So this is flesh in opposition to deity. Now, this corresponds with so many passages. Let me just read for you rather than take the time to turn. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. So the expression all flesh is analogous to all mankind, all members of the human race. This is yet another reason we should desire to spread the gospel to all mankind throughout the world, beginning here. In Africa, in Mexico, in the Philippines, wherever. We should not see black or white, male or female, race or sex or economic status or anything else. We should see those for whom Christ died and to whom Jesus Christ was given authority over, all people. See? This whole thing of the authority of Jesus Christ, people, very important to Jesus Christ. Just as humility is extremely important for us in living our life by faith. The understanding his authority is very essential to Jesus Christ. Take a moment and look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Now we've already looked at Matthew 28 when we were studying the prayers of or the commission of Jesus Christ. But I want you to note something. Matthew 28. And before he gives what is called the Great Commission, before he gives it, I want you to look. Verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It's already done. All authority has been given to me. And then we have the Great Commission. And now look at Colossians chapter 2 a moment. I want to show you something beautiful, extending a little bit from our passage here. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. People, I want us to just appreciate the Father, the Son, the glorifying, and all that's going on here about Jesus Christ is totally conscious of himself. People, we have to be totally conscious of our total dependence on God, our total dependence on the Holy Spirit for anything and everything we do. That's humility. He is conscious of his authority. All right, Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 10 together. And, well, verse 9, for in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He is here to reveal the Father. And in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. He is the rule over all. Now we come to a question. Come to the question. When? When did God the Father give this authority to his Son? Let me just tell you straight out. I've set you up. We do not have a verse that refers to when this took place. We don't have a verse. I don't know. I can tell you this, though. It happened. How do we know that? Well, let's look at Matthew 11. Let's look at Matthew 11. And if you're taking notes, I'll give you the scriptures and then we'll read them together. Matthew. Do what? Yes, but in the structure of coming to earth, it was given to him. Yes. But his deity always had it. Always had it. Always had it. All right, let's look at Matthew 11. Well, I was turning to it and got sidetracked. All right, Matthew chapter 11, and let's look at verse 25. No, it's fine. Matthew 11, 25, and we're going to read 25 through 37, or 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Remember, they did not pray to him as Father throughout all the Old Testament. No prayer was ever addressed to the Father as Father. This is a privilege given to us because of Jesus Christ, incarnation. I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him, that is, reveal the Father. So Jesus Christ came, people, with a mission to reveal the Father, and he was given all the authority that he would need in order to do that. Look at chapter 28, one verse, Matthew 28, and we're going to look at one verse. Well, we looked at verse 18. We've already done that. So let's look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you're taking notes, you'll want to put in Matthew 28:18 at this point. But let's just move on now to Luke. We won't turn to it since we just read it. That was the first before the Great Commission. Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. And we're going to read 21 through 23. Luke 10, 21 through 23. Verse 21. And at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said. People, all through his life, Jesus Christ was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit to love. That's why we can love as he loved, because of the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get adrift, but it just things like this jump out. Then he says, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John 3. John 3. John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. John 5, verse 20. John 5:20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. Relationship of the Father and the Son. Look at Philippians, the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians 2. I hope when we go, as we go through this, you just develop even an advanced love, an increased love of Jesus Christ. All right, Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth, and under the earth. Now, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I don't mind waiting. That's good. And people don't know what it is. Living the table content. Good grief. That's why it's there. Okay. Daniel said, I've been working on the Hope just two Sunday special and just teaching you the whole Bible and having a lot of fun doing that and a lot of stress doing it through my computer. But we'll get it done on the computer. All right. Daniel 7:13. I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, Jesus Christ. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. And given to him, Jesus Christ, was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Put in any different ways so that you get the idea of the permanency of the dominion of Jesus Christ. So the spiritual warfare includes authority over man and angels as far as the whole conflict is concerned. Now, all we can dogmatically say is that sometime in eternity past, God the Father gave all this authority to Jesus Christ. Do not know specifically, just know that it occurred in eternity past, before the incarnation of the world, the creation of the world, before the restoration of the world in Genesis 1, 2 and following. God gave this authority to his Son. God had a plan worked out already. So, at some point in eternity past, God the Father gave all authority over to the Son. See? Now, just to give you one more little insight into all of this, take a look at one of our favorite books, Job. First book written, first book given to us. Job chapter 19. Job 19. Okay, verse 25 through 27. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh, the sarx, over all flesh, I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall see, and not another. My heart faints within me. So he knew all of these things. He knew that his Redeemer was going to rule on the earth, stand there on the earth. So we know that God gave this authority to Jesus Christ sometime in eternity past. This decision was made in eternity past and given to him in eternity past. Now, what we want to look at is why. We've looked at when. Don't know when, just sometime in eternity past. Why? Why did God the Father give all authority of all the human race to his Son? Two things. One, because of the obedience of his Son, to come in the form of man and die on a cross Philippians chapter 2. Secondly, in order that, why did he give it to him? In order that the Son may glorify the Father. In order that Jesus Christ may glorify the Father. So, let's go back to John now. John 17. We're ready to get back into our text. John 17. Verse 1b. Glorify thy Son in order that the Son may glorify thee. Just as you have given him authority over all flesh. Now, first Jesus Christ must be glorified in order for these things before it can become a fruition of reality. God the Father has given His Son authority to forgive sins. Matthew chapter 9, 6. God the Father has given His Son authority to execute judgment. John 5, 27. God the Father has given His Son authority to give eternal life. John 17, 2. John 1, 12 and 13. Let's look at John 1, 12, since we're getting ready to look at the giving of eternal life. John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to those who believed in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God the Father has given His Son authority to forgive sins, Matthew 9, 6. He's given His Son the authority to execute judgment, John 5, 27. And He's given His Son authority to give eternal life, John 17, 2, and John 1, 12, and 13. The authority of Jesus Christ is so important to His total mission, to who and what He is. Before things that happen, He would talk about how He's given authority. All right, it says, over all flesh. Over all flesh is a Hebrewism meaning created living creatures. Created being the opposite or in contrast with Spirit of God. Over all, Jews, Gentiles, all created beings. Just as thou hast given Him authority over all flesh. Now we come to the important phrase, in order that, or the next important phrase, in order that all whom thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. Now, please be sure you see the distinction. Please be sure you see the distinction. Given Him authority over all flesh. So, again, what is He given? Authority. Now, take a look. And then it says, in order that all whom thou hast given Him, all whom thou hast given Him. See, doesn't say all of the, those are not the same groups of people. All whom thou hast given Him. Now, some like to use this verse as universal salvation. That God has given all people under the authority of Jesus Christ. He gives eternal life to all. They're not observing the text. This is not what it says. Observe carefully. Let's again note, we have the verb to give three times in our passage. So that we can see this. We have to give. To give. To give. This is the verb. Now, we've already taken up the first phrase. We've already taken up, just as thou hast given Him authority over all flesh. All right, under the first one, who is the subject? Who's doing the giving? God the Father. What is given? Authority. That's very important. Not people, but authority over all. And to whom was it given? Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, let's take a look at the next phrase. in order that all whom thou hast given him. So, who is the subject? Who's the one doing the giving in the second use of this verb? God the Father. What is the object given? No, didn't say that. Huh? People. A group of people. Now, people, just from observation. And it's amazing how we're studying this in our 1 o'clock class on Sunday, that failure of observation has caused a great heretical teaching that everyone has eternal life, and this is the text proof. Proof text. It doesn't say that. If you just sit down and do simple English. Subject, God the Father. Give is the verb. What is the object given? Authority. What is the object given? People. Two entirely different things involved here. Now, who is the indirect object? To whom are they given? The Son, again, okay? So we have the Son. So this is very important, people. You have to observe what's being done here. So God the Father gives authority over all to the Son. God the Father gives some people to the Son. And now the third time it's used, who is the subject? Look what it says now. That thou hast given, he may give eternal life. So who is the subject in the third use? Third verb. Jesus Christ, the Son. Okay? Now, what is he giving? Eternal life. Okay? And to whom is he giving? Okay? To whom all thou hast given him. Okay? He gives eternal life to those to whom he has been given. Just pay attention. So correct observation is so important. God the Father gives authority. Aorist active indicative. God the Father gives people. Aorist active subjunctive. Subjunctive is based on the purpose of the Father giving. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Perfect active indicative. And we're going to look at that perfect tense in a moment. But you keep eternal life for all eternity. So note that the second, here's the point now, I want you to realize, note that the second group is part of the first group, but not all of the first group. Does that make sense? This group here is part of the ones that he's given authority over, but not all of them. But not all of them. Part of them. And we like to emphasize the fact that eternal life is based on faith in Jesus Christ, but people, the giving of eternal life involves so much from the perspective of God. Yes?
So in the observation, though, this doesn't exclude anyone. So this actually
no.
could be all.
It could be all.
So Scripture, interpreting Scripture, would say, and this is how you are one of them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All I want to do is stop saying what it doesn't say. Doesn't say he gave eternal life to all in that first group. Says he gave eternal life to all that God Father gave him. We got to see who the Father gave him. Got to other places in Scripture. See? So that's what's important here. But people, what I want you to see here is that the giving of eternal life is dependent upon so much. Yes, it's dependent on the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and such of Jesus Christ. But it's dependent on the Father glorifying. It's dependent on Him glorifying the Father. It's dependent on the Father giving all these people to Jesus Christ. Now, from our point, faith. Simple faith. But whoever thought of, wow, this is so possible for us to have eternal life. It's because the Father gives the glory to the Son, and then the Son glorifies the Father by giving Him. How does the Father give the glory to the Son? Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and giving Him all these people. How does the Son glorify the Father? Giving eternal life. Okay, let's take a look now. In order that all whom Thou hast given Him... First, God graciously gave to His Son authority over all. Now, God graciously gives to His Son a certain group of people. This group, included in the phrase, all whom Thou hast given. Okay? Whom thou hast given? Him. Him in smaller than in the total group, the group here. Given him authority over all flesh. But here it's a smaller number now. It could include all, but it's not necessarily including all. See? This word, the word to give, appears three times. And one, God the Father has already in eternity past given authority over. Aorist active indicative. Secondly, God the Father has given him, Didomi, his son, these people that will believe, and now the son gives eternal life. All whom thou hast given him. That is, God the Father has given to the son a certain group of people. Yes. Yeah. Well, to anyone who believes. Yeah. No. Well, it's amazing how the false teaching comes out. The subjunctive depends on our decision to believe in him. Yeah. Yes. 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 And if we believe, then he does. He does. To all whom thou hast given. And the question, who are these people that God the Father has given to the Son? Let's look at some groups. One, Old Testament Gentile believers. That would be from Adam and Eve to Abraham. All the way through, from Adam and Eve to the cross. Two, Old Testament Jewish believers. Three, all believers in the church age. Gentile or Hebrew. Four, Gentile believers of the last 7 years promised to Israel, called the tribulation. I'm getting very picky about not just saying tribulation. I want people to get in their mind, that's 7 years given to Israel. It's not 7 years of tribulation. It's 7 years designated for Israel. And when we do that, we lose some of the impact of this. So, point four, Gentiles, believers of the last 7 years promised to Israel. Five, Jews who believed in Jesus Christ during this 7 year period. Six, Gentile believers of the millennium. Seven, Jewish believers of the millennium. Which group did God the Father give to the Son? God has given to Jesus Christ everyone, Jew, Gentile, regardless of dispensation, regardless of place in history, who believes in Jesus Christ throughout all history, are given to his Son. To all whom thou hast given him, corresponds to whosoever believes in him. Okay, let's take a look at some of these. Please turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Now, as we read what we're going to read, think in terms in light of David's future son, Jesus Christ. Think in terms of the prayer of Jesus Christ that we're doing right now in John 17. All right, let's read from verse 24. Psalm 89, 24. And my, God the Father, faithfulness and my love will be with him, Jesus Christ. And in my name, God the Father, his horn will be exalted. This is what Jesus Christ is praying concerning. This is when he says, glorify me, bring this to fruition. Verse 25, I, God the Father, shall also set his hand, Jesus Christ, on the sea, and his right hand on the rivers. All authority is given to him. Verse 26, he, Jesus Christ, will cry to me, thou art my Father, God the Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. This is the glorification of the cross. Verse 27, I, God the Father, shall also make him, Jesus Christ, my firstborn of all those who will be resurrected, the highest of the kings of the earth. 28, my, God the Father, my love, I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever by giving them to Jesus Christ, and by Jesus Christ giving them eternal life, and this and his throne as the days of heaven, eternal. So this is what God, this is what Jesus Christ is praying, what's already been promised. All right, let's look at Daniel 7, please. Daniel chapter 7, let me get there with you. Daniel 7, and we want to look at verse 14. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. What's he praying for? Glorify me. He's praying for what's already promised to him, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now, I know we've read it, but sometimes we want to see things in just different aspects and different light. Dominion over all the human race. And by the way, it includes over angelic beings. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 a moment. We got time. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 22. 1 Peter 3:22. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, ascension and session, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. So all these things taking place, this is what he's praying for at the time of our study. In order that, see, in order that to all believers whom you the Father have given him. Now, why did God the Father give to the Son this group of the human race? Why did he do that? We're asking questions as we go through here. Why did God the Father give all believers to Jesus Christ? Okay, people, it is a matter of reward. It's a reward for his suffering. It's a reward for glorifying the Father. Look at Isaiah 53. The moment I say Isaiah 53, you should have well in your mind, knowing that this is the great chapter of the crucifixion in the Old Testament. All right, Isaiah 53. And up to the crucifixion and all the suffering have all taken place. And let's just take a look. Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. But the Lord was pleased, this is God the Father, God the Father is your Lord, Jesus Christ is your Lord, the Holy Spirit your Lord. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Okay, this is what Jesus Christ is praying for. Glorify me. Crush me. if he would render himself as a guilt offering. This is what he's offering. Glorify me. I'm offering it myself. He will see, he, Jesus Christ, will see his, Jesus Christ, offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will, that's the Father, will prosper in his, Jesus Christ, hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. That's those who believe. And he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, because of his suffering, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. In other words, that's us, all believers, given to him. Why? Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. So the giving of these people to Jesus Christ was a reward. See, as a reward. He was rewarded for his suffering. We are rewarded for our faith. It's perfect. It's beautiful. So we have to know why and our place in all of these things. Jesus Christ rewarded all for the sufferings and these things. You and I are rewarded if we just trust Him. Just walk by faith in the Father, the Son, the Spirit, depending. This is the God's beautiful plan, and it all glorifies the Father. Okay, we're ready now for eternal life, that He may give eternal life, and we'll take a look at eternal life next Wednesday evening. Heavenly Father, there's so much going on between you and the Son. From eternity past to whatever point this plan was brought out, members of the Godhead, the creation, the world, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the session. All these things, Heavenly Father, there's just so much involved. And all of this is on the heart of Jesus Christ as He prayed. It's amazing what all must have been in his mind at that time. All these things. Being with you in eternity past, I'm sure, came to his mind. And all these things were just there. And yet, Heavenly Father, we were on his mind to give us eternal life. We praise you. And we praise your Son. Pray, Father, as we work our way through this prayer by Jesus Christ, that we learn even more and more of our Savior. We learn more and more of you. We learn about our own lives and our prayer and what we're here for, to proclaim to others that Christ has done it. He has revealed the Father. He has provided the way to the Father. He gives the life of the Father. Let us, Heavenly Father, become more and more involved with what's going on in the invisible spiritual warfare, and less involved in what's going on in the physical realm of our eyes. Father, pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.